Amen. I know we've said this before, but even if there's just a handful of us, you know, whether there's one person, 10 people, 1,000 people, God is still God. My message today is one to God. And I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Starting at one, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Says, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat,' God said. 'You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die.' 'You won't die,' the serpent replied to the woman. 'God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil.' The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees." So it says they just, all they did was they heard God walking amongst the garden. And obviously, that means they knew who God was. They had spent time with him. So just him walking amongst the garden, they knew the sound of God. And I'm thinking about that from, you know, if you live with a family, you know, you got more than one people that you live with. Have you been in one room and you can hear them walking in another room and you know who it is just by them walking because you spent time with them? And so that's what's going on here. You know, who knows? You know, we don't know exactly how long Adam and Eve were in the garden before this happened, but they probably had spent so much time with God, you know, they could just hear God off in the distance walking to them. And so then if we read on verse 9, because, you know, they hid. So God says, verse 9 says, "Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" I have a feeling that this is probably the very first time that God had to ask Adam where he was. Because I have a feeling that before this happened, before they ate of the fruit of that tree, that whenever they heard God in the garden, they ran to him. Because I'm sure they wanted to spend every moment they could with him. And so God was probably walking in the garden. You know, God already knew what happened, you know. But he was probably walking in the garden waiting for Adam and Eve to come to him. And they weren't, so he asked where he was. And so then verse 10 says, "He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' And then verse 11, 'Who told you that you were naked?' the Lord God asked. 'Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?'" So God knew, you know, God already knew who it was, but he knew that Adam and Eve had listened to the devil's voice rather than listening to what he said. And also what's interesting, it says, you know, on verse 10, the first thing that Adam says was, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." So this was the first time that Adam was afraid. And I don't know if this has anything to do with that, but I thought about, you know, in the Bible, whenever an angel came to a man or a woman in the Old Testament, or even the New Testament, a lot of times the very first thing they would say was, "Do not be afraid." And I think it's because after the fall, you immediately was afraid of God because of sin. So it's like that's the first thing that they would say to people is, "Do not be afraid," because that was the first thing that Adam said to God, that he was afraid. But then verse 12 says, "The man replied, 'It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it.'" And of course, you know, I know this has been brought up before, but it's like this is what we like to do. Like when we mess up and sin, a lot of times we want to blame somebody else, you know, well, I sinned because of this person, you know. We want to spread the blame out rather than admitting it, you know. And that's why it's important to, when you mess up, run to God, you know. Don't try to hide from him. Don't try to hide your sin because he knows anyways. He knew what they did anyways. Verse 13, then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skin for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life, and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So there were, you know, this reminds me of, you know, when we mess up and we sin, there are consequences, but there's also God's grace and mercy. And, you know, whether you're going through a good time or a rough time, you know, I just think it's important to always, the first thing you should try to get to, you know, have that habit of is, I'm going to go to God. I messed up, but I'm not going to try to hide my sin. I'm not going to try to run away from God. I'm going to go to God. So that's all that I have for you, is I just encourage you that no matter what, run to God, you know. Don't be like Adam and try to hide, you know, because he knows anyway. So just run to God, and that is it. So.
Amen. Missed that last week. Thank you, Lord. All right, today I'm going to talk about the power of prayer. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 14, I'm going to start there. So how does prayer work, and how do you know if it's working? For most of us, we know that prayer works because we've experienced it ourselves. We know that when we pray, we've received an answer. Or maybe we've heard a testimony from someone else, and we know that God answers prayers based on their testimony. Right? So John 14, I'm going to start at verse 13. Thank you, Lord. It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this is really simple, right? Jesus says, you ask anything in his name, he's going to do it, right? So let's get to the hard question. Let's get to the nitty-gritty part of it. You know, if any of you have known me for very long, you know I'm a very blunt person. I like to tell people how it is. I don't generally beat around the bush. I like to get straight to the point. So bear with me, okay? So if John 14 is true, then why don't some of our prayers get answered? And I think this is a big question for a lot of Christians, and even some who aren't Christians, who feel like they know God, but they don't really. Why does it feel like sometimes when it rains, it pours? Why does it feel like you're picking up all the pieces, and before you can pick them all up, someone comes along and hits everything again, and it all falls apart? Why does it feel like sometimes we just can't catch a break. Amen. Why does it feel like sometimes our prayers are fruitless, even though we have prayed and prayed and prayed for a matter, right? So I'm going to give you an example or an analogy between us in our vehicles and prayer. Okay, so just follow along. So when you get into a vehicle, you expect it to go to where you want it to take you. You expect it to start when you use the keys. And I was going to say when you put your keys in the engine, but most of us have push button starts, so I can't say that anymore. Now, say you get into that vehicle and it doesn't start. Does that mean you won't ever drive another one again? No, because you know there's a reason why that car didn't start. Maybe the battery is dead. Maybe it's out of gas. Maybe the catalytic converter got stolen. Anybody ever had that happen? There are so many reasons why it might not have started, but does that keep you from ever stepping into another vehicle and driving again? No, it doesn't, because that would be foolish. We need our vehicles to do life. We need them to get to work, to do appointments, to go do fun things. We need them, and even if we don't drive, we need someone else to drive us somewhere, right? Now, what if we applied this analogy to prayer? Prayer is like a vehicle from the natural world to the spiritual world. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus is basically the bridge from the natural world to the spiritual world to the Father. Amen. And so if you would turn to me to John 16, so just a page over, 16 verses 23 and 24 says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And if you would just flip back to chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. "Henceforth I call you not servants." This is Jesus talking. "For the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me." And whenever you see the word "ye" in the Bible, it basically means "you all." Okay, so it's Old English, but it just is Jesus talking to everyone, okay? So this isn't just like Jesus talking to one person. This is for all of us. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And I love this because Jesus repeatedly tells his disciples, "If you ask anything in my name, my Father will give it to you." Anything, anything in my name. It's really simple, right? And when something is said in the Bible over and over again, it's established. That means it means something. It's not something that's a passive remark. It's a true written thing that endures forever. So the only way to the one who can supply all of our needs is through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus is the key that starts the engine to get you to the Father. Your faith and belief in Jesus is the fuel that drives you to him, where you will receive what you are asking for. And hope is what keeps you driving toward the Father, because you know his words are true. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So back to our question, why don't some of our prayers get answered? Spiritually, physically, and mentally, there are many factors that hinder our prayers. But just because that can happen, it should never mean that we stop praying, right? Just like the vehicle analogy, we need to diagnose the issue and find out as much as we can before we let the lie of the enemy in our hearts And what he does is he says this all the time, prayer does not work. And he will tell you this, why pray? It doesn't work. Stop praying. And it's a lie. It is because prayer does work that the enemy will tell you it doesn't, and he will try to stop you from praying. It says in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said he comes to give us life and life more abundantly. Why would Jesus come if he didn't want to come to bless us, to set us free? Why would he even come? There would be no reason, right? And the devil knows this. In Daniel chapter 10, you can go back and read this story. Daniel is praying, and he needs an answer. And he prays, and he doesn't get an answer right away. And he's praying by this river, and it's like 21 days. And finally, an angel comes to him. And the angel says, the moment you prayed, I was on my way to answer you. And the devil, the prince of Persia, just like we watched that video of Jonathan Cahn, the moment he prayed, Gabriel was on his way. And because the prince of Persia held him and fought with him, Gabriel couldn't get there right away. So he had to get Michael, the other archangel, to help him fight the prince of Persia so that Gabriel could get to Daniel to tell him what God's answer was to Daniel. Isn't that incredible? So even though you feel like you prayed and you're like, you know, it's been weeks and you feel like nothing's happening, just know that God is working. God is doing things. The devil will do whatever he can to stop it. Like in Ephesians 6:10, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and the heirs of this world. We wrestle spiritually with things in this world that we cannot see, right? And prayer is like, it's our bridge from here to our, in our natural world, to our Father in the spiritual world. Anything that we need, anything that we're communicating, and the devil will do whatever he can in between there to stop that from happening. Amen. So let's turn to Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to just tell you some points that Jesus made for how to pray, and then kind of explain those. So Luke chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Isn't that powerful? And then there's another part that says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And that's not really part of it. It's just like a doxology. So, you know, if you ever hear somebody say that, that's just like giving God more glory. That's already due his name. Amen. All right. And then go down to verse 9. It says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, shall he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I just love that because God, he just wants to bless his people. He wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit because he wants that relationship. So back in verse 9, it says, ask. And so when you're praying to the Lord, you always do what Jesus says. You ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then the second thing is seek. And seek, it means like you're actively searching for something. So look at what you're praying and asking for. Ask, is it God's will when you're praying for something? Is God in it? Does it bring him glory? Are the desires of your heart out of line or contrary to his word? And I just want to give you this example. You know, a lot of times people, you get in the body of Christ, you get people who don't really study the word. And sometimes they listen to the voice of the devil and they get into churches, just like we talked about, the demonic spirits that come into churches and try to separate and divide. Well, I listened to the story by Kenneth Copeland one time, many years ago, when they first started their ministry. Him and Gloria Copeland would travel, you know, and go everywhere. And one of the places they traveled, this lady did this really weird thing where she was like, Kenneth Copeland is my husband. He belongs to me. And Gloria's like, I have been married to him for many years. I don't even know what you're talking about. And what it was this lady just got this weird, and it wasn't the Lord, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was a devil telling her that Kenneth Copeland belonged to her, that she had this fascination with him, that he belonged to her as her husband. But we know that anytime there are weird things like that, that's not God. That is the devil, right? And so Gloria, she's one of those women who are like, you know, you don't mess with her. So she didn't take that. She was like, oh no, that's not happening. And so she just took authority over the situation. And I think she even handled it, if I recall the story, before even Kenneth Copeland even knew about it. She was like, no, we're not even putting up with that. And this is where, you know, this question, are the desires of your heart out of line or contrary to his word? If it's something that's off of what God has established in his word, then don't even ask for it. Amen? If it's something that you think you're not really sure if it is, then pray about it and God will show you if it is or isn't. Amen? God doesn't just, he knows who you are as a person. And if you have a desire in your heart, and if it's him, then it'll be reaffirmed. God will show you in his word. He'll confirm it through other people. Amen. And then the last thing is listen as you seek him for a word from the Lord for an answer to your question or for your provision. So don't just pray about something and then just don't even listen for an answer. Keep your heart open to what the Lord is telling you. Amen. And then knock. Go to the Father's house. Don't knock on the enemy's gates. Don't knock on the enemy's door. Don't knock on other people's doors. Go to the Father's house. Don't go to other sources that will only give you temporary solutions, especially when you have heard a word from the Lord. Go to the one who knows your future. There may be times where we are so overwhelmed that we don't even know how to pray. If you would turn with me to Romans 8:26. Or let me just read this to you. You just write it down. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It means, and our infirmities are like our sicknesses and things that we're going through. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you know that God hears our tears? Even when we can't say anything, when our hearts are broken, when we're in pain or something has happened and you don't know what to do, God hears your tears. There was one time where Brother Steve was in the nursing home and kind of just felt like he was had just given up. And I had worked with him for years and years and years. And Pastor had told me he was going to call him and tell him, you know, you need to make a decision. If you're going to give up, that's fine. You know, if you want to go be with the Lord, that's fine. But Pastor just didn't feel like God was done with him yet, that he still had a purpose and a reason here on this earth. And so he called them and he was like, you need to make a decision. You know, what do you really want? What's the desire of your heart? And so, and I remember I was like, I heard Pastor say that to him and I was driving on the way home and it just grieved my heart because I love Brother Steve. And I was just watching him, you know, waste away basically, watching him give up. And he still had many years to live. And it was like, you know, why is this happening? And so I was angry and I was upset. And I was just crying out to the Lord. And I was like, God, you've got to do something. You've got to do something for him because he should not be giving up right now. That is not what you want for his life. He is young and he still has many years to do what you want for him. And so I remember I was crying and praying and interceding for him. And there were times where I couldn't even say anything. And I was just crying. And in my heart, I knew that God was hearing my tears. I knew that he was hearing what I was going through. And did it make it easy that whole time? No. But God did a miracle in Brother Steve's life. I mean, he went from being, if you knew him before this was happening, he was getting to be a really grumpy old man. And he was proud of it. He was grumpy and he was just, you know, didn't care about people. He had lost his desire to live. His wife was already in a nursing home and he was just like, I don't care anymore. He had gotten into stuff that just made him just not care about people anymore. But God touched his heart. And he just like, you knew when, and so he came out of that nursing home and there wasn't any, the doctors were like, you know, you're fine. You could go home if you wanted to, but he didn't want to. So when he made that decision that, and God just touched his heart, he came home. And now when you talk to Brother Steve, he is a completely different person. If you knew him 10 years ago and then you talk to him now, man, it's just like incredible what God has done in his life. And it's just like, you know, God's not done with people. When you're ready to give up, don't. Because there are people in your life that God wants you to reach. Amen. So don't just give up so easily. And if you are at that point, I guarantee you, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Because we're going to do something about it. So Romans 8:26 says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus is always, always there for you. Amen. He is always praying for you to the Father. He loves you deeply. So prayer is super important in our walk with the Lord. It strengthens and builds our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God knew the desires of your heart long before you were ever born. But you asking is what establishes a relationship, right? You need to be asking the Lord, what is on your heart? What is the desire of your heart? What do you want? Ask him. Amen. Psalm 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in another version, it says, I don't have a need for anything because God supplies it. You have to make that effort. You have to make that effort to say something to God about it because you need to establish that relationship. Amen. So I'm going to read to you several verses about prayer because I want this to really stick in your heart. So turn with me to Mark chapter 11. And you know, I know a lot of us, we've grown up in the church, and whenever you talk about prayer, there's always different things that come up, like, well, you must not have enough faith if that's not happening for you, or you must have sinned because whatever is happening in your life is evil, and you open the door to the enemy. And so we take these things, and we live by them, and we lose our relationship with the Lord. And sometimes that kind of stuff does happen where we do open the door to the enemy. But the only one who can shut that is Jesus Christ. So why not go to the one? Just like Michael was saying, why not run to the Father? Why not run to him? You know, when there's something that we've done wrong or something that's gone wrong in our lives, run to the one who can heal. Run to the one who can save. Amen. All right, so Mark chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. That is a big part of our lives. Forgiveness is always tied to prayer. Amen. Whenever you go to the Father, he expects you to forgive because he's forgiven you. Amen. All right. And then Psalm, I'm going to read several verses out of Psalms. So Psalm chapter 4. I love reading this because not only David, but all of the people of Israel, whenever something happened, they cried out to the Lord. Even when they were wrong, when they realized and they finally realized Jesus is our Redeemer, they didn't know Jesus, but they knew Father God. As soon as they would get to their senses, they would cry out to the Lord and he would deliver them. So Psalm chapter 4 verse 1 says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And then Psalm 32, 6. Psalm 32, 6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Amen. And I can go on and read verse 7 because I love this. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I just love that. And then Psalm chapter 66. I'm going to read verse 19. It says, but verily God has heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And see, these are really, really important because God, when Jesus was here on earth, he was speaking to the disciples. He was speaking to the people of God who knew that God answered prayer, who knew that God was attended to prayer, but they always felt like they had to do something. They had to sacrifice something or do something to get God to answer their prayers. But Jesus made it simple. Ask in my name, and my Father will give it to you. Jesus cut all of those cords of complications, and he made it simple. Amen. All right, and then Psalm 69:13. It says, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. And then Psalm 102. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. So if you're feeling like you're praying and nothing is happening, return God's word to him. Amen. He will not deny your prayer because he loves you. And then Proverbs chapter 15. I'm going to read 26 and 29. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. And then verse 21 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The only way that you can be made righteous is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like when we say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it's in Christ Jesus that our righteousness comes. It is nothing that we can do in ourselves or of ourselves or by ourselves. We need Jesus to get to the Father. Amen. And then Philippians chapter 4, and I will close with this. I'm going to start at verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5 says, Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so this is what you have to remember, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Amen. If there is something in your heart that you need, if there is something that you have been praying for, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep turning it over to the Lord. Keep saying, God, I have prayed this, and I thank you that it is done. When you pray to the Father, you thank him. Amen. Because you don't know what he's doing in the spiritual world that you cannot see. Amen. You may think that you see these things in the natural and that this natural world is just all that's going on for you, but it's not. Amen. There are things all around the world that the Lord is fighting our battles with. The Lord is fighting our battles against the enemy all over the world. Amen. I've heard the Christians in China, you know, they pray for us in America. And it's amazing to me because here they are enduring like harsh criticism, harsh persecution. Their finances get cut off whenever they say they're a Christian. And it's amazing to me because they will tell you when you listen to their YouTube channels, we are praying for you. You Christians in America, we are praying for you. And it's amazing to me because here they are. Everything that they're going through, they believe that God will answer their prayers, and they are praying for us. Amen. So don't shy away from what God wants you to do in your life. Amen. His plan and his purpose and his provision is met by your faith and your belief and your hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take everything, you know, it says in his word that you cast your care upon the Lord. And that means like, you know, when you cast your fishing line, you are literally throwing it out there. You need to take that and just cast everything to the Lord. And even if that means you have to write it down and throw it away just so you don't see it anymore, do that. Do whatever it takes to just know that God will answer your prayers. Amen. And trust him for it. You know, I encourage people to do this all the time because I've done this for years and I've seen what God has done in my life. I keep a prayer journal, and whenever I'm going through things, I write it down and I pray over those things. And then later on in life, I go back and I read them, and it's just amazing to me what God has done. You know, little things that you think, well, maybe it's not that important. God cares about the little details in your life. He cares about the big details. Anything that's going on in your life, he cares about, just like we care about our children. Amen. We care about what happens to them. We care about what they're going through. God cares about us even more. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray and dismiss. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Again, just a reminder, if you need prayer, we are always here to pray for you. And just remember to pray for each other. You know, you don't know, any one of us in this room, we may not understand fully what each other is going through. But it is important to pray for each other. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this time today. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that we believe that you answer all of our needs. You supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father. We come to you in the name of Jesus, believing that we are healed by Jesus' stripes, believing that we are made whole in our minds, in our bodies, In Jesus' name, God, if there is anybody in here, Lord, who doesn't know you, God, anyone in here who needs filled with your Holy Spirit, let that desire come to them right now. Fulfill that in their lives, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to love each other just as you love us. God, we cannot love based on our own lives, God, but we love through your power. Your love flowing through us, God, changes things. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, God, for Miss Shirley and Aunt Jessie, that as they come back from Colorado, that you would protect them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And those who couldn't make it today, God, we just ask that you would bless them, that you would protect them, and show them your will for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. And just a reminder, Aunt Grevy, next Sunday, the 16th, okay?